You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
And for the latest information on Monmouth University athletics, visit the online home of the Blue and White at GoMUHawks.com. GoMUHawks.com is your one-stop source for Monmouth news, stats, schedules, videos, and more of all of MU's 21 division teams. Check out the new virtual guide, which gives you information from the administration and head coaches on each program and their facilities. And also Hawks Stars, the new club for kids 8th grade and under. GoMUHawks.com, your official online home of the Blue and White. Back here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show, talking about a bit of last week's 41-6 win over the University of Rhode Island, and starting to look ahead to this week's game against Wagner College. A good couple minutes with one of the defensive captains, Mike Upham. Now on the flip side of the ball, he's back for his fifth year, also as a repeat captain. That is senior quarterback Kyle Frazier, who's good enough to give us a couple minutes. Kyle, first of all, I know individual awards set aside, I do want to say congratulations. I think well-deserved honor, NEC Offensive Player of the Week, after a great performance last week, 18 of 28, 264 yards, three touchdowns.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's an honor to have a award like that. But, you know, when I was able to play, you know, playing on this past Saturday, it's a team effort to our offense. Offensive line played really well, gave me time to throw the ball. The wide receivers made plays, the running backs made plays, and, of course, our defense got us the ball with turnovers and everything like that and getting them off the field. So it was a little easier, you know, when everyone was clicking on all cylinders.
Such a mix this year on offense of not just talented players, but experience. You know, you talk about that offensive line, all either fifth-year seniors or seniors, all of which who have started a ton of games, all probably know each other very well. Just a one replacement from a year ago, Jim Sullivan, who graduated, and you move Mike Hunchek in to the center spot. How important is that for you as a quarterback to really feel comfortable with the guys in front of you?
It's huge. I know last year we were young with experience, and you know we're more experienced this year, but having guys coming back who have played and have game experience is something huge. It definitely makes me feel more comfortable, and those guys have played really well this year, and you know, it makes my job a lot easier when I'm not having to worry about any people running at me.
Now, you think about the other side of it, the skill guys. You know, there are some talented players, and I think one of the questions going into the year was, how is Kyle Frazier, or whoever the Monmouth quarterback would be, going to keep everybody happy? You know, I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. It's an athletic competition, so there might be some egos involved every once in a while, and as we saw on Saturday,
It's tough. I know Coach Van Zyl and all the other offensive coaches have to deal with the same thing. But, you know, I think that's the difference kind of between this year's team and last year's team. We were kind of more based on last year. We were kind of, you know, worried about stats and stuff like that. But this year's team, we have one goal in mind, and that's to get that championship. And, you know, like you said, we do have a lot of talent around the board. And I think everyone realizes that, and that they're not going to get the ball every time, even though if you got people coming back to you saying, I'm wide open on every single play, which does happen. But
I've never met a receiver that thought he was covered.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's tough to do, but I think that they know what the big picture is.
Coach, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, something that Kyle just said I think is pretty poignant, and that is difference from last year to this year. Maybe guys checking their stats a little bit too much a season ago, where this year there's more of a focus on the ultimate goal, which is to win the NEC championship. But what I find curious about that comment is it's a lot of the same guys back from last year to this year. So where does that change take place, and ultimately what's the quarterback's role in it?
Well, during the offseason, during this last winter and spring, you know, our objective was to get everybody on the same page. As a matter of fact, you know, our motto as a team was all in. And we wanted to make sure that everybody in the program was all on the same page, that we all had a common goal, and that there really wasn't any concern about who was doing what or who was getting what, as long as we were getting our job done. And I thought the team did a great job of buying into that concept. They worked very hard. Our offseason, our winter, our spring was grueling. I'll admit that to you, Matt. But they did a great job of buying in and readjusting our focus on what truly was important. And what's important is the bottom line. And the bottom line for these guys and their expectation this year is to win a championship. And so, you know, each week we remind them of that. And that's what we're all about. It doesn't matter. One team may give us some opportunities in the run game, and our backs are going to get the ball more. Another team in another week is going to allow us to do some things throwing the ball, and we're going to throw the ball. And we have enough weapons, as you mentioned, three running backs, two to three very capable tight ends, a great receiving core, an experienced and a well-balanced offensive line. And we got a guy at the helm of that offense who's intelligent enough to understand what he has to do with the ball. He's probably the one that has to keep everybody calm out there. He is the one to do that. But also, he's our leader on the field. And I know there's receivers coming saying, hey, Kyle, I was wide open. And there's running backs saying, boy, I think I can, you know, score a touchdown here. But Kyle's astute enough, and he has enough composure and poise to execute the plays that are called, operate within the game plan. And the end result is, when we have success, everybody's happy.
Does that make Saturday, Kyle, almost the perfect game? Because numbers-wise, at least, and I'll throw these out at you, 272 yards rushing, 276 throwing the football. So that means nobody should really be complaining about anything. And on top of it, you score 41 points and get a win.
Definitely say. I mean, everyone was happy after that win. We were balanced. You know, the stats just show that. But everyone was happy, like I said, after the win. And we were just happy to get that monkey off our back with the home losses. So, you know, it was a big win for us.
I've made it about halfway through our time with you. I've yet to ask about the knee, and I think I'd be remiss if I don't get into it. I know, so disappointing for you a year ago. You're up at Bryant. The team's kind of in what turned out to be a dogfight-type game. You go down under really minimal contact. You just kind of get stuck in the grass field up there. Long rehab process. Any knee injury usually is. Short of saying, how do you feel now? Because obviously after last week you're looking pretty good. But how difficult was it, number one, to sit out the rest of last year and see the season kind of have its ups and downs, and then ultimately make the decision to come back for a fifth year?
This was probably one of the toughest things I've ever had to deal with. It was, you know, the rehab was awful. It was really tough. They put me through some pretty crazy stuff that hurt a lot of the time, but, you know, it made my knee a lot better. And watching, you know, having to sit out the whole season, half of the season, was tough, especially when you would see, like, you'd see things on the sideline and then you'd have to go ahead and relay them. And it was tough, but, you know, I felt like that's something that helped me with the leader, because I became more vocal, talking to everyone on the sideline instead of, you know, just kind of my position. But it was definitely tough. But as of right now, the knee feels great, and I'm, you know, 100%.
It also probably helped you develop a different perspective on the game,
yeah,
too, where, you know, when you're busy as a player on the field and you don't have the opportunity to step back to the sideline, as no player wants to step,
yeah,
back to the sideline and watch other people play. But I think it helped develop Kyle's understanding of what was happening on the field, and he's used that to make him a better football player this year, a better quarterback this year.
Coach, I'll ask you about the injury as well. You know, every position kind of has their word that kind of goes along. You know, the offensive lineman might be the grunt guys. The defensive lineman might have their thing. The wide receivers, you know, from high school all the way up to pros, are known as kind of the prima donna guys. And the quarterback usually on a team is known as, you know, the guy in practice who wears the red jersey, who means very limited contact. Don't touch it. Don't touch him. Don't get too involved with him. But when you think about Kyle and what he has meant to this team in the offseason, I think, going through that rehab, and I'm sure the players very cognizant of the fact, as he said, going through some pretty grueling stuff, I would think that maybe puts him on another level when his teammates kind of look back at him a little bit right now.
Well, it certainly, you know, raised the level of respect that all of our players, everybody in our program, has for Kyle. And that's not to say that he wasn't well respected prior to that. He certainly was. He was elected captain a year ago and did a fine job at that. But once you see somebody go through that adversity and work through it on a daily basis, knowing what he's going through from a physical standpoint, knowing that there's pain, knowing that there's hurt, and knowing how badly he hurts inside because he can't be out there playing with his friends and with his teammates, I think that heightens the respect that everybody has for him.
Kyle, good defensive team this week against Wagner. We talked to Mike, obviously, about the rivalry part of it, but they gave up just 7 points to an FBS school in Florida Atlantic. Gave up 13 points, I believe, last week to Georgetown in a loss. So they're 0-2, dangerous team, but a talented team. And I think anytime the two teams played, you can kind of throw the record. As you've watched them the last couple of days on film, what kind of defense do you see?
Like you said, they're very talented on defense. They're fast. They do a lot of movement up front, but I think that they're probably one of the best defenses that we're going to face. They always play us hard. Like you said, we haven't beaten them yet, but their defense looks pretty good. They're fast, and they look very athletic.
A couple more questions before we let you go. What's it like this year for you after graduating? I mean, you are a college graduate, you know, which puts a big smile on the president's face. So you're back for your fifth year. You're taking grad classes. But how different is it for you as still a student-athlete, but now as a graduate student-athlete as opposed to an undergraduate student-athlete?
With what I'm doing, you have a lot more time on your hands, definitely. I have one class that's in the classroom, and then the other ones are online. So I have a lot more time on my hands, but I'm able to go in and watch more film and do stuff like that and concentrate on football. But it's definitely different than undergrad, which I was taking 15 to 18 credits or whatever it was and always in the classroom. So it's different.
You know, the one question I'll ask you before we let you go, and I think something that's developed for you the last couple of years has been your ability to run the football and recognize that when you can run the football. And Eddie and I remarked on this in the broadcast on Saturday. I feel like you're running differently this year. You're running more to scramble to hope maybe the play extends, where last year it was more tuck it and get what you can. We said at one point when you had an opportunity to run out of bounds on Saturday and you kind of stayed in and lowered your shoulder, we said when you come off the field, someone might say to you, hey, next time, why don't you get out?
I was the one who said that.
Why don't you get out of bounds next time?
I said to him, Kyle, are you sure you know what you're doing here?
Because it was a great run. But it is important that you, because I think when you came here to Monmouth, you were probably thought of more of a drop-back type quarterback. But that part of your game, I think, has made you overall a better quarterback, that you can scramble and do some things with your legs.
Yeah, definitely I think when I came here, that's what I was more looked as. But I think over the past few seasons, I've been able to show that I can run the ball. And especially having the guys that we have at wide receiver and tight end and stuff like that, they always find a way to get open no matter if I'm scrambling or not. So, I mean, if I'm scrambling, we can hit big plays like we did to McClafferty this past Saturday and the one to Lamar on third down. So it's a big thing for me to be able to do that. I feel like it helps us out.
Well, whatever you can do to get a guy like McClafferty or any of the receivers open as he was on Saturday,
yeah,
just keep doing it, because
yeah,
there wasn't a defender 20 yards
yeah
close to him. Great job, obviously, on Saturday. Appreciate the time here. Again, congratulations on the award. Many more to come, many more wins to come. I'm sure you're looking forward to capping off your last year as a college football player with an NEC championship.
Let's hope so.
That is Kyle Frazier, the fifth-year quarterback here at Monmouth and team captain. We step out for a couple of minutes, two-minute break. We come back with the offensive coordinator, Scott Van Zyl. This is the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show, and you're listening to it live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End on the Shore Sports Network.
First Atlantic Federal Credit Union is proud to be an official partner of Monmouth University Athletics. With conveniently located branches serving Monmouth and Ocean counties since 1935, it's easy to see why First Atlantic was voted the best credit union in the two counties. Visit FAFCU.com or talk directly to a team member at 732-380-3600 to learn why First Atlantic is the better way to bank. Membership is open to all Monmouth University students, faculty, and alumni. Call today and ask about First Atlantic's special Hawk program, which features free checking and online banking.
For those with a strong desire to just keep on driving their Chevy Cruze Eco, with an EPA estimated 42 mpg highway, it charges ahead with the best highway mileage of any gas engine in America. And Cruze does it all while keeping safety a top priority. In fact, it was named an IIHS 2012 top safety pick for all its safe conscious efforts. And like the best of the best, Cruze can really steal the show. No wonder it is named the Consumer's Digest Best Buy for 2012. Find out more at Chevy Offers.
Top It Frozen Yogurt Bar is the official frozen dessert of Monmouth University Athletics and the sponsor of Hawkstars, MU Athletics' new kids club, with two great locations at 638 Ocean Avenue in Long Branch and on Main Street in Freehold. Top It invites you to treat yourself nice today with their delicious frozen yogurt and fresh toppings. Present your game ticket at the counter and receive 10% off of your order. And keep your eyes open around Monmouth's campus for their new Yogurt Mobile, a fully functioning, on-the-go frozen yogurt supplier. Visit them online at topitnj.com.
You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
And we are back here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show, broadcasting live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Remind you to stay connected with Monmouth University through a variety of social media outlets like Monmouth University Athletics on Facebook, follow at GoMU Hawks on Twitter, and visit youtube.com/MonmouthHawks for videos with MU coaches, players, and more. You can find every social media page associated with MU Athletics in one place at GoMUHawks.com/connect. Stay connected with the Hawks and join the conversation online right now. So we've changed the game plan midstream. We've gone to like the two-minute drill.
You've got to be flexible on the sideline.
Absolutely. Being able to adapt, such an important skill for a broadcaster or a football player. We were scheduled to have on the offensive coordinator, Scott Van Zyl, but a special guest showing up here for week number two of the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show, and that is the president of the university, Paul Gaffney. President Gaffney, we appreciate the time. So good to see you here on a Tuesday night.
Great to see you, Professor Harmon.
Well, let's get into it. This is 20 years of Monmouth football, and it's your 10th year here at the university. Probably no better way in what is your final year as president here in West Long Branch to send out the Hawks with an NEC championship. I know you were at the game on Saturday as you are a huge Monmouth athletic fan. Must be nice to see such a good turnout on an early Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it was great. To ask if, while I was the president of the Northeast Conference, to come into our conference. And I went to work for them to get the other presidents to agree, and they were coming. And then they backed out. And their president called me just a couple of weeks ago, you know, feeling quite bad about that. It was so great to win. And I grew up not 20 miles from the URI campus, so this was a really big victory for me. It would have been nice to win by 3 points, but to win by 30 or so was really terrific. A great game.
It was a great game. 41-6, the final score. You know, if you took Mama's football history and sliced it in half, you've been a part of 10 years of it, of the now 20-year history. What kind of changes have you seen in the football program in the last decade?
Well, I think it's much more professional than it was before. Not just that we have plastic grass. We have a really great, stable coaching staff, I think. I've seen the student athletes, I think, become much more professional about their business. This is not grade 13 for student athletes. This is a step up now. I think I've seen that in 10 years. I had nothing to do with that, of course. Coach Callahan had everything to do with that. And maybe
on a couple of the TV screens, Jose Gumbs performing at Saints camp. I mean, it's almost a perfect night of Monmouth football as we sit here on a Tuesday in September.
It is great. I'm very honored to sit in the same seat that Mike and Kyle sat in. I remember meeting Kyle's parents at a Colgate game, I think his freshman year, and what great fans they've been, and these guys have done a great job for us so far. Very proud to be with them.
Now, as we kind of look ahead a little bit, I mean, since you're on the show, I have to ask, I think it's probably the question, great basketball arena. There's been changes in the soccer stadium in the last couple of years with the lights. And I think probably everyone feels like the next thing that's going to happen will be something with the football facility at Kessler Field, which is now, you know, 20 years old. Is there any immediate plans or anything? I know there's been discussions and plans, but you're kind of now on, I would imagine, thinking on your way out, or is it going to be the next president's job to take care of that?
Excellent question.
Do we get an answer?
Yes, you'll get an answer. Absolutely. We are... We are doing surveys now of the field. We're finishing final drawings. We're going to build, and we have the money raised for it, with philanthropy and our own money, to build a, this will be good news for you, Matt, a real actual press box.
Just a fan would be okay on a day like Saturday.
Offices, indoor restrooms, and we'll build out something that's about 50 yards long, about 20 feet wide, and four stories tall. And I hope that we'll get permission to do groundbreaking within the year. We have to go through zoning, like anybody does. But the hard parts of getting a concept ready and getting the money raised is there. So I hope we'll get going.
How important, and Coach, you can jump in at any point. I don't want to hog the time with the president while we have him here. I feel like probably at one point there was a negative relationship between Monmouth and West Long Branch, or Long Branch, depending on what side of the border you're talking about. How much better and easier have things become to build additions to the school, whether dorms, whether putting lights on the soccer field, whether it changes anything that needs to get placed, you know, the MAC, for an example. I mean, I know everything's a process, but has that gotten better in the last decade?
I think the relationship between the school and the city fathers and mothers of West Long Branch is much better. It's a much better trusting relationship. There still is a long process of zoning and planning in every borough, in every one of the 500-plus boroughs and cities of New Jersey. One has to slug their way through that, and it takes time.
The president of Monmouth University, Paul Gaffney, here, giving us a couple minutes on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Monmouth, the win last week against URI, coming up on Saturday afternoon. Wagner is on the schedule. I'm not done.
Yep.
I'm not done. We still have you. Maybe one more minute, one more
sneak
question.
Out the back door here.
You kind of talked about it a little bit, or started to talk about it. URI was expected to join the NEC, then declined. They're going to stay in the CAA. And Coach and I talked about it last week on the show, and we always talk about it when we chat off air. The ever-changing landscape of college athletics, and more importantly, college.
Difficult question. We actually spend, I would say, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, maybe 10 hours a week discussing that between our athletics director, our chairman of the board, and myself, because it literally changes every day. Every day you read a new rumor or you hear a story. And what we've told everybody is that my first goal is to make the NEC as good as it can be, and always to position ourselves in both results and investment as being at the top of the NEC, so when the right opportunity comes, we can take advantage of it. Sometimes the right opportunity is to stay right where you are, but we are absolutely being open-minded about everything. We're listening to everybody, and we're watching everything, and trying to get ourselves so we can make the very best decision possible.
And it has been a very difficult to track this. As we all know, the landscape, as we talk of it, has changed dramatically week to week, and there's going to continue to be changes as we go. Some of them come as surprises to us. The Patriot League expanding, the CAA expanding. The CAA was thought to going to expand only in the South, and they grabbed a couple of northern teams. Scooping up Albany from the NEC and convincing Rhode Island to stay with it, and adding Stony Brook. And I think it's going to create a domino effect. Things are going to happen, and I think all colleges and universities are trying to position their athletics programs in the right places, not only for the markets, but also for the competitive level of all of their sports, not just football or not just the basketball, but for all sports and what's in the best interest for the entire athletics program.
President Gaffney, one more question before we let you go. As you will retire after this academic year, your relationship with Monmouth will always be there. As you look forward a little bit and could put on your crystal ball hat, where do you see Monmouth football as kind of a continuation of that last question in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years? Or where would you like to see it?
Well, frankly, I think FBS is a reach for us. I think in a good, solid FCS conference, playing good teams, not having to fly to Boise or to Western Texas to play the game is realistic. I see us at the top of whatever conference we end up being in 10 years from now. We'll be in the top two or three.
Well, that would sound pretty good to me.
That
right?
Sounds very good to me as well.
We appreciate the time. Surprise guest, you are welcome anytime. We'll always make time for you. I'm looking forward to the barbecue tomorrow. I'm not sure what's on the menu, but I'm excited for it at 2:30.
Great. I'll see you there.
That's the president, Paul Gaffney, giving us a few minutes, 50 seconds on the Shore Sports Network.
The Monmouth Hawks are leaders on the field, just as Barnabas Health is New Jersey's healthcare leader. Barnabas Health has New Jersey covered with great facilities all over the state, including Monmouth Medical Center and Children's Hospital in Long Branch, Kimball Medical Center in Lakewood, and the Behavioral Health Center and Community Medical Center in Toms River. Premier Healthcare is one call or click away at 1-888-724-7123 or barnabashealth.org. Barnabas Health, every day extraordinary.
First Atlantic Federal Credit Union is proud to be an official partner of Monmouth University Athletics. With conveniently located branches serving Monmouth and Ocean counties since 1935, it's easy to see why First Atlantic was voted the best credit union in the two counties. Visit FAFCU.com or talk directly to a team member at 732-380-3600 to learn why First Atlantic is the better way to bank. Membership is open to all Monmouth University students, faculty, and alumni. Call today and ask about First Atlantic's special Hawk program, which features free checking and online banking.
You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
We are back to wrap it up. Edition number two of a season-long show on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8. We do it from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Monmouth 1-1 going into this week's game against now 0-2 Wagner. Coach, before we get specifically into Wagner, I always like to kind of get a feel of what you feel like from the week prior around the NEC. Lehigh with a pretty convincing win over Central Connecticut State. Duquesne beat Dayton, which was a nice win for the NEC.
Had to come from behind to do that.
17-7. Albany in a league game beat Robert Morris fairly convincingly, 35-10. And St. Francis, Pennsylvania, with a come-from-behind win against Bryant, 39-28. So those two league games, I think, interesting. Albany with a fairly dominating performance against Robert Morris out in Pennsylvania, and St. Francis, PA, knocking off what I think everyone has maybe thought overestimated a little bit what Bryant could be, because they're struggling right now at 0-2.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, the Albany game, you know, they've played very well in each of their first two games. They kind of dominated the Colgate game, rushed for over 300 yards, and then in a big game out at Robert Morris this past Saturday, and are now sitting at 2-0. You know, Bryant was a team that received some first-place votes in the coaches' poll this year, and I think everybody's kind of scratching their head a little bit. Now they're 0-2, having lost their opening game to Marist, and then dropping this last one at St. Francis. So, you know, we're not quite sure what to make of them. I know they are working with a new quarterback. They have some new offensive linemen. And they may just be going through a feeling out process. You know, they have some very talented people in the running back, Jordan Brown, and receiver, Jordan Harris. They have some very good defensive personnel. But, you know, maybe they're just kind of working on how all those pieces are going to fit together.
A few minutes to go here on the show. The one score I left out was Wagner. They were beaten by Georgetown 13-10. That game was down in D.C., and Wagner 0-2, and you know, in 20 years of football, there's been 0-2 starts for Monmouth, and I always feel like coaches think
in that spot, as you've mentioned before, and I think when you look at Wagner, you don't see an 0-2 football team. You see a team that took an FBS opponent, a member of the Sun Belt Conference, Florida Atlantic, to a 7-3 game. They were leading until well into the fourth quarter before losing that game, as I said, 3-7. And then last week they went down and played Georgetown, a team that received first-place votes for the Patriot League to win the championship there. And it was a game that was tied till the very end of the fourth quarter. Georgetown kicked a field goal with 1:41 remaining to win that game. So they've been in two very close games. They're playing exceptionally well on defense. They have some weapons on offense. They just haven't found the end zone yet. So when you look at all of those things, you see a team that's very dangerous. They haven't won yet. There's a bit of desperation there. They're playing great defense. They're an aggressive defensive unit. They have some.
It will be the 20th year of Monmouth football. It's the 20th time that Monmouth has played Wagner. The series advantage right now, 10-9 in favor of the Seahawks. They've won the last three. And just like the home losing streak was maybe, you know, somewhere in the discussion this past week, I would have to think that losing three in a row to Wagner is at the top of the conversation in preparation for the Seahawks this week.
It's certainly something that we've talked about. It's certainly something that our players are aware of. But just as I told you, you know, my approach to the home losing streak, you know, I'm worried about the next game. I'm worried about this game coming up. What happened in 2009, 10, and 11? Does this team no good on Saturday? We've got to make sure that we're prepared to win this Saturday against Wagner on Staten Island, and that's the only thing on our minds right now.
Well, certainly a balanced effort like we saw between the offense, defense, and special teams against Rhode Island will go a long, long way. One guy that we know we will see for Wagner, it seems like as long as Kyle's been the quarterback here at Monmouth, it's been Nick Dosher for the Seahawks. He is an older player, spent time in a minor league baseball before he came back to school, and now is a college quarterback. But, you know, he's that kind of guy. He's a run-pass option, which I'm sure the defense has been focusing on all week long.
He's been very productive for Wagner. He has the ability to make plays with both his arm and his feet. He's somewhat unpredictable at times, which makes it a little bit more stressful on your defense. He always finds a way to make plays, and we certainly have to contain him. And they have an extremely talented running back, a running back who was ranked number 8th nationally a year ago, a guy who's got excellent speed. He runs hard. He has great vision. He's had, I think, only 8 times in his last 22 games where he's been held under 100 yards.
Coach, always better to talk on Tuesday after a win. Look forward to another one this weekend against Wagner. We'll do this next Tuesday.
I look forward to it, Matt. Thank you.
Our thanks to Mike Upham and Kyle Frazier and President Gaffney for swinging by and giving us a couple of minutes. Our good buddy is still Harding in the studios pushing the buttons. We step out and say we'll see you on Saturday afternoon from Staten Island with a 12:50 pregame show. 1 o'clock kickoff is the Hawks. Tuesday and also Saturday come game time. For the head coach, Kevin Callahan, I'm Matt Harmon saying so long on the Shore Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com. Join us again next Tuesday when we broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End and talk Hawks football. For more on your Monmouth Hawks, visit gomuhawks.com and shoresportsnetwork.com.